Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. And I am Jack Peterson in for Chris Bessler, who is unfortunately out sick today, but we are wishing him well. And today we'll be in conversation with County Clerk Mike Rosedale of Bonner County, talking about the upcoming elections. And we'll dive into conversation with him in just a little bit. But first, let me briefly give you the weather report. This from the National Weather Service. Currently 36 degrees and overcast. That sounds about right. Snow today is in the forecast. Snow and then a chance of rain or snow. How about that? Before noon, we are expecting some snowfall, an 80% chance. And then after 2 o'clock, it will be shifting into rain. The high today is near 40 degrees. Tonight, low down to 23 degrees and a chance of rain or snow, and then areas of fog tonight. We have areas of fog tomorrow and a high of 38 degrees. No forecast or no precipitation in the forecast for tomorrow. And then on Thursday night, rain and snow is likely, and then snow as the temperature falls throughout the night, low down to 27 degrees. A 100% chance of precipitation on Friday with a high of 45 degrees, and that will be either rain or snow, depending on the how warm it is outside. Rain on Friday night with a low down to just 31 degrees, and on Saturday a chance of rain and then a chance of rain or snow. Kind of more of the same. So look for precipitation and temperatures in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. On Sunday, cooling down in the high. Daytime high on Sunday is only about 35 degrees. So, looks like the weather is beginning to change here in Bonner County. We also have a special weather statement, this issued by the National Weather Service Office of Spokane. A strong storm system is expected to move into the region Thursday night and continue to impact the area through early Saturday. Initial impact will be widespread moderate snow, followed by breezy conditions with wind gusts of 30 to 40 miles an hour expected from Friday night into Saturday morning. Watch out for that. A few higher mountain locations will see strong wind speeds. Speeds of this magnitude combined with leaves and possible snow on the trees could lead to damage and subsequent power outages. Then another round of light to moderate snow is expected for the latter half of the weekend, followed by much colder temperatures for next week with the continued chances for snow. Significant snow is expected to occur over most of the area. Mountain passes through early next week, especially near the Cascade Crest. So it looks like it's time to hunker down. If you're asking me personally, I think this is a good time to, you know, cuddle up, stay indoors, have some hot cocoa and that kind of thing. Watch what happens outside and get some, invest in some candles, it sounds like, too. Well, lacking an elegant transition, I will just, at this point, turn and introduce to you Michael Rosedale, the Bonner County Clerk, who you've been the clerk for how many years now,
Mike? About 8 years.
About 8 years. Okay, so our longtime Bonner County Clerk, who is, it turns out, the County Clerk's office is in charge of the local elections, which is the topic of our conversation today. And right off the bat, I want to ask if a listener right now wants to vote, wants to cast a ballot in this year's election, which is coming up in less than a week, next Tuesday, what can that listener do if they have not yet cast their ballot?
Right. First, I want to say, Jack, that was the best weather report I think I've ever heard. It was totally in-depth. And on that point, it's supposed to be highs of less than 30 and lows below 20 and snowing all election day. So Ooh. This is actually a good topic to talk about. Yeah. You can vote right now in person at our main county building.
Okay.
1500 Highway 2 in Suite 336. Or 134, excuse me. You can come in if you're registered to vote. Just bring your license. You can register to vote at the same time. Bring in proof of who you are. If you're from out of state with longer than a month ago, you have to be a resident for at least a month before the election day, which is next Tuesday. Proof of ID, I mean your ID and proof of where you live, or if you're registered, just bring your driver's license, and that'll take it.
Okay. And if you're not registered, you can register right
You can
there.
Register and vote at the same time. If you register, you must vote. Otherwise, you have to do it on election day. But you can't register and not vote.
Okay.
Silly rule.
You can early vote right up until the day, or when does early voting close?
Friday at 5 o'clock. This coming Friday at 5 o'clock.
Okay. And then next Tuesday is the actual day of the election.
8 to 8.
8 o'clock in the morning till 8 in the evening, and then you can go to any of the polling places, or not any, you have to go to your specific polling place, correct?
Right. You have to go to the one where you live, and you can find out online on our Bonner County Election website. You can do a search for your exact address, and it'll tell you exactly where your polling place is.
Okay. And you can register there as well?
Yes.
Okay. On election day?
On election day.
So speaking of registration, are the voter registration numbers going up, going down compared to previous elections? Can you tell?
They're going up. There's been moderate interest in this election. Just simply because we're in a very, I would say, active involvement with the elections, with everything going on after 2020, all the, you know, everything going on. Everybody's more interested, so everybody's getting out to vote, which is good. I'm glad about that. So we have a little bit more, a few more absentees, a few more in-person votes. So people are showing interest right now, which is good.
It is. Yeah. I mean, an interested populace is a good thing. And can you tell from the early voting that's happened so far, can you tell if those numbers are up, or do you not know until election day?
You know, it's hard to say because we have 2 years. And including the presidential, we have 4 years of unique election cycles or elections themselves. The last time we had this particular cycle, a non-presidential even year, was 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Our county has grown since then. So whether it's the same percentage of the voter population or not, I can't really tell. But it is more than I would say 4 years ago. If it's a significant increase relative to the population, I can't say.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the turnout is going to be compared to, I don't know, how does the turnout compare to a presidential election year? How about that?
So that is the million-dollar question. And the reason why, and it's a very interesting election, a unique election. I've never seen one like this before. And it's both for the Republican and Democrats. If the reason I'm saying that is all the local races are one party. And so if you are, let's say you're a Democrat, you may be disinterested in this election. Mm-hmm. And so you may not come vote. If you're a Republican, you may say it doesn't matter. They don't need my vote. So you may not come to vote. So both parties have a reason to not vote. Both parties have a reason to vote because there's also state level offices. I don't know how that's going to shake out. I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the clerk's office. What does election day look like for the folks on your side of the desk, I guess?
So we get there at about 6:45 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And most of the polling places teams get there at 7 and start setting up. And so our phones are ringing off the hook because they have questions. We have 30 different polling places or precincts, and they're setting up. And there's so many electronic devices. The TouchWriter for the ADA folks. We have electronic polling books. We have questions about supplies, where to set up, what to do. So we're answering those questions until about 9 when they calm down. Then we are there all day long for questions. Of course, there is no voting at the administrative in my elections office during the day.
Okay.
None at all. It's only your polling place.
Mm-hmm.
And then it picks back up. You know, it's pretty steady through the day, but it picks back up after 5 o'clock when people get off work. And then they start going to their polling place. And we're monitoring ballot counts. We don't ever want to run short. So we always print way more than we need. But if there is one precinct where people just really come out to vote, we can actually track how many ballots they've issued, and we can print an emergency batch on the spot and then ship them out. So we do that. It's open till 8 o'clock. And so then at 8 o'clock, we're still there, of course. We're there till 2 in the morning the following morning, 2 or 3 in the morning the following.
Mm-hmm.
But at 8 o'clock then, all the polls close. And please hear me, everybody out there, you have to be in the building to vote at 8 o'clock. If you are dropping off your absentee ballot because you couldn't get it back in the mail, and you're welcome to drop it off at your polling place or any polling place, you have to be there at 8 o'clock, not 8:01. 8:01 is right out.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, 8 o'clock. And so then after that, it's just a matter of handling when the precincts bring back their ballots and their ballot boxes and gear, then we process those all night. The law says we have to stay there until we are completed. So sometimes it's been more than a day past that. It's been into Wednesday night, into Thursday. I mean, and we cannot stop.
Yeah. Do you have cots or something? What do you do?
No, but what we were doing, actually, Marie Scott used to have a cot. She used to have some type of a sleeping bag in her office, which is my office now, because the long nights, long days.
Yeah. I tend to vote in person. I enjoy that experience. And we have paper ballots here in Bonner County. You put them in, if you're a voter, you put it in the box. And then it's 8 o'clock at night that somebody comes and picks up that box, or a volunteer from the polling place brings it to you, brings it down to the central office?
Mostly. So at 8 o'clock, the polls close.
Okay.
So they shut the door. If you are in line, you can vote. If that line is a mile long, the last person in line, it's like the last cart at Costco. They're going to hang something on your back saying, you get to vote, but not the next person. So we'll wait till all those people have voted. And then, we close the doors. And they have to stay there, reconcile all their ballot counts, how many they've issued, how many they received in the first place, how many they issued, how many they have left with their tickets, with their registrations, all that. So they have to do that. Then they take all that with two people and bring that back to my office. So we get those starting at about almost 9 o'clock into our office. And then we also have remote places, Priest Lake, down in Spirit Valley, out in Clark Fork. Those come in sometimes almost 11 o'clock at night. So we can't even start looking at those ballots till 11 o'clock at night. Yeah. So those of you who are eagerly waiting the results, we don't even get the ballot boxes back until sometimes 11 o'clock at night. So just know that.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah. And especially with the weather forecast, it could be pretty late by the time the outlying ballots come in. So two people bring them down. You mentioned reconciling. So somebody is, you have to make sure that the number of ballots you gave, somebody has to make sure the number of ballots they handed out match up to the number of ballots that are in the box, or those that they're accounted for if somebody, say, makes a mistake and says, can I get a new ballot or something?
Right. So they know how many they've issued, their tickets. So they know how many they should have issued. They then subtract that from the amount of ballots they got from us. Mm-hmm. And then they count the remaining ballots, and those numbers should reconcile.
Yeah.
And then they give those totals to us, their electronic poll books, which have nothing to do with the ballots or election night vote counts, or the winners, losers kinds of a thing. Those just keep track of the people, if they voted or not, their address, that kind of a thing. They're a completely separate system. But those poll books will tell them how many tickets they've issued, how many people have voted. And the accounting are done on those, and how many people voted, all that is done on those.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Things at your office, you start counting the absentee ballots right away, right? At 8 o'clock?
So that's an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. So we have the absentee ballots in their envelopes. They are still in their sealed envelopes. On Monday, we have a team of probably 12 people. We open those absentee ballots, flatten them out. We don't start scanning them until Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
And Election Day, about 2 o'clock is when we start scanning those. But we have two separate isolated machines. We cannot come up with any results. We can't even transfer that data to the machine that would tell us a winner or a loser until 8 o'clock. Then at 8 o'clock, we transfer it to that machine, and that's where we actually go through write-in candidates. So this election, we won't have probably the first posting until probably close to 9 o'clock, because we have to go through the write-ins, and I suspect there will be a lot of write-ins this particular election.
Yeah, and that is an interesting subject itself. So there is a local write-in campaign for Steve Johnson, and it seems like there's going to be a number of ballots with his name on them. You have some sort of machine that ordinarily just tells you which, you know, what the ballot says, and you just feed it through the machine.
So that's a great question.
Yeah.
Our system, it will show us when we send it to the machine. It's called Count. It actually says how many write-ins we have, and we have to go through every write-in one at a time. And so depending upon how many you have, it can take a long time.
Yeah.
But every single one, if we can identify it with that candidate, we have to be able to do a positive ID with that. It can't be some nickname from high school. It can't be anything like that. It has to be his official name that he put as his official write-in.
Yeah.
One by one. And so we have one Democrat and one Republican sitting next to us, and we all look at every single one of those one by one.
Yeah.
And depending upon how many, it could be a fun night.
It could be a long night.
That's right.
Yeah. It does. And ordinarily, if there's no write-in candidate or nobody votes, that goes a little faster, I suppose.
Well, and on that note, too, we only have to look at those races. There are going to be write-in candidates or people trying to write in everywhere on this ballot.
Yeah.
But by law, they haven't properly filed. There are only three places on the ballot there's a legitimate write-in. And on this ballot, it is so packed, we didn't even put write-in lines for all those others. But frequently, you see Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, all over the place.
Yeah.
We never even look at those for races that do not have a qualified write-in candidate.
Yeah.
Because there is none. But those races with them, we have to look at every single one of those Mickey Mouses and Donald Duck. Now, they're not valid, so they don't get the count.
Yeah.
We have to look for those on the list of legitimate write-ins for that office.
That's interesting. And a relief to me, who has in the past. Yeah,
You wrote a Mickey Mouse?
I think I have.
Oh, no.
Not recently. When I was years and years and years ago. But probably not even in Bonner County. But so that's good to know that nobody actually, I didn't cause anybody any trouble, hopefully, when I wrote in Mickey Mouse.
No.
Unless there was a filed write-in candidate in that race. It could be, it could be a late night. And somebody from the Democratic and Republican Party also has to be there for the whole, for the duration.
They don't have to. I request party presidents, party chairs to give me people.
Yep.
And this time I do. I have plenty. So not only do we have a Republican and Democrat sitting there for that when it's talking about write-ins, but a different, before it gets there, we have a resolution board. And that is when people vote for overvote. We have several races where there's more than one candidate. Sometimes people mark both boxes. And if that's the case, our system flags those, and we have to determine the voter's intent. If we can't, of course, it's as if they didn't vote on that race because it's an overvote. If it's a vote for one kind of a race and they vote for two, then we just have to say that vote for that race doesn't count because you voted for two. But frequently what happens, somebody votes for a candidate, and they say, oh, no, I didn't want to vote for that person. I wanted to vote for this person. And they mark another box. And if we can tell what you're trying to do, you scribble a note there with an arrow or whatever, we see that.
Mm-hmm.
That particular image will flash before us. And we have a Republican and a Democrat both looking at those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually crystal clear what happened. If we can't tell, then it's an overvote. And that it's as if they just didn't vote on that race at all.
Just on that race. And the rest
on
of
that
the ballot,
race. The rest of your ballot is valid.
Let's see here. So the polling places, there's 30 polling places.
30 polling places.
And go ahead.
Well, no, we have a couple combined co-located polling places. So we have actually 27, but we have 30 precincts.
30 precincts, 27 polling places open from 8 to 8 on Election Day.
Yes.
And that's run by volunteers. Is that right?
Volunteers that get paid. So we have
250
to 300, depending upon how big the election is. Mm-hmm. And it's a job. And I want to thank all the volunteers out there that do this. They do get paid. I also want to tell all the voters out there, please be patient with them. There's so much to know and so many rules to follow here. it is hard. They mm-hmm. always see something of first impression, every single one of them, every time, and they all do their best. Republican and Democrats, they all do their very best, but it can be tough, especially when there's a line out the door and they're dealing with something that takes time and they see people way back in the line and they're thinking that they're thinking, do they know what they're doing? What's going on? There's a lot of pressure. And so just cut them a break. You'll get to vote, but it's tough.
Yeah. It does seem like it would be a stressful job to some extent. It also seems kind of rewarding and fun, but certainly I've been in polling places where it seemed like one or the other.
Can I jump in a second there, Mark?
Yeah, go ahead.
You said rewarding, and I want to emphasize that. If you are a young person and you want to stay here, a lot of young people move out of town, big city, whatever, or come back. But if you love it here, it is a fantastic way. You can see your neighbors' faces and names 3 to 4 times a year and meet them. And if you want to get to know your community, it is a fantastic way to do that. So I would recommend you apply to be a poll worker if that's your interest.
Yeah. How is the, I guess it's, I don't know if we call, I mean, I guess you call it volunteer, poll worker. Mm-hmm. That's the better term, since they're paid. But how is the kind of turnout for poll workers?
We are fine. In fact, We have some extras. We have some backups, which is good. Sometimes we've been short, been scrambling for them. But this last year, we've had sufficient amount of backups. So.
Nice. Plenty of, again, people just interested in what's going on. We mentioned already that we can expect results, but not until probably early morning Wednesday is what
The final. We'll get early results by about 9 o'clock. You're going to have the first, and those will represent your absentees and the early votes. Yeah. So we will have those posted roughly 9 o'clock, maybe a little bit before, depending upon the write-ins. That's the real unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next batch will probably be 10:30, 11 o'clock, and then we'll get another one at midnight, another one at 2 in the morning, kind of thing.
By the way, I should mention you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, and on election night, you can tune in, and at least I would say for that 9 o'clock update, somebody will be behind the microphone and let you know what's going on with the election. Now, I don't know, it'll probably be me, and I don't know that I'm going to stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning, but we'll see.
If you check our website, the election website, it's right at the top, and it's live election results. It doesn't go live with the Secretary of State's office till our 8 o'clock, their 9 o'clock, but you can check there, and it's a hyperlink to our report. So you can check there, auto-refresh. Again, you may be disappointed pulling your hair out, hoping for new results, but when we are slammed with polls reporting, it's all hands on deck until then. Only then, see, I have to break away to my office, and it takes me about 20-30 minutes to do that, but I'm part of the machinery downstairs too, and everything slows down when I leave. So but that's why there's a delay.
So, you know, I don't know that we didn't quite finish up with what's going on, what happens at the end. So you get a total, when you're satisfied with what's happened here in Bonner County and you know what your vote totals are, then at some point you got to call the Secretary of State, I imagine, right?
So at 2 in the morning or whenever, that night we call the Secretary of State when we say we're done.
Mm-hmm.
We're not done with the process entirely, but we're done with that night's work. Then we have what's called a canvas, which is up to 10 days later. So it'll be the following Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday. I don't have my calendar, but it's the canvas. So what that means is we go through everything. We put it in the desired format for the Secretary of State wants to see. And the commissioner, we present it to the commissioners, everything about the election that's relevant. And then they sign that. They accept the election results. What that does, and then we send that to the Secretary of State. What that does is starts an official clock ticking. It's like a statute of limitations clock. So if somebody doesn't like the results, that's the official start of the clock for their challenge time, their challenge period, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just an official thing. Also, on that night, I believe it's Thursday, the Secretary of State now, every election that is an even year with a primary or general election with partisan politics, they will They do a drawing down in Boise to see which counties they're going to audit. So late that night, 9 or 10 o'clock at night on that night of canvas, I will find out if Bonner County is one of them. If that's the case, I will immediately have to call the sheriff's office. They will come and impound or somehow secure all the ballots. And then we will have a team from the Secretary of State come out within the next 3 to 4 days max. And we will conduct an emergency. And it'll be all 44 counties are subject to this. So it's by lottery. It's literally they have a lottery ball machine.
Yeah.
And they pick the counties by lottery.
How long has that been going on? Forever?
This will be the second time.
Second
they did
time.
It last time.
Okay.
Yep. I volunteered for a recount after the 2020.
Yeah.
The first lottery one was in May. We did not get that.
Oh, of 2022.
Of 22.
Okay. So and this is a new thing.
This is right. So this will be the second time they've done the lottery.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. And how many counties did you say get picked?
Well, so there's going to be one out of the big three, Ada, Canyon, and Kootenai. One or two. I don't remember. They represent such a huge swath of our population. There will be three picked out of the next 8 counties, and we are in that batch.
Okay.
And then I think there's 3 or 5 in the next 35 counties, whatever the balance is, 32 counties.
Okay. So you have like a 3/8 chance of getting your ball coming up.
Yep.
And then you're gonna be pretty busy for, I guess, the next week after that.
It'll be within the next couple days. Then what it's gonna be is hurry up. We have to get volunteers from the Republican and Central Committee and Democrat Central Committee to help. In that case, I will do an emergency call out saying, hey, Secretary of State's doing a recount by lottery. I need staff, volunteers from everywhere. I'll have the poll workers come. The chief judges are the ones I'll first go to because they're a pretty even blend of partisan registers. So it's all hands on deck for just over that weekend, really.
Okay. Yeah. that's interesting. Is that becoming a common process in other states too, or is that kind of an Idaho thing?
I think it's mostly an Idaho thing. I think they just want to prove and make everybody extremely comfortable. Idaho actually has very good election rules and laws and safety. There are some states I don't believe that's true in, but Idaho really does.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just one more layer of confirmation and, helping people understand that it actually is being done right. And that the outcomes do reflect what happened actually.
Mm-hmm. On a normal election year, let's say you don't get picked up for, you don't get the lottery pick. You submit your numbers to the Secretary of State. Do the actual ballots have to go down to Boise? They stay here.
We keep those, and we actually have seals on those boxes, and we keep those for a statutory amount of time. And there's different rules for different types of things, different rules for like the ballots, for the voted ballots versus the unvoted ballots, and the different types of receipts, papers, all that kind of stuff. There's a whole barrage of equipment, and there's a specific thing of how long we have to keep each one of those. So we put those in boxes in a vault with the date, the expiration date on it, what's in it. So if we ever get, they want to come see, we can find the right box. But then we also know when we can do the records destruction. And so we have those records can only be destructed, by the way, after the time. With the approval of the commissioners, all departments in Bonner County or any county, before they can destroy records per statute, they still need the commissioner's approval. So we go before the board in open meeting and say, yeah, it's time to destroy these. It's been 5 years or it's been 3 years or whatever.
Yeah. What is like the last batch of ballots that you destroyed out of curiosity?
I believe it's 3 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. At some point, the it's so far down the river that it is I don't know what could be done with anything. Unless of course there's an order to keep them, and if there's any court order, we'd keep them as long as they want them, or they would take them themselves or whatever.
Yeah. We're in conversation, by the way, with Mike Rosedale. He's the clerk of Bonner County, has been for 8 years. And are you on the ballot this year, Mike?
I am.
Oh.
That's a good question, because how can I be handling the ballots if I'm on the ballot itself?
Yeah.
Well, most of the small counties don't have the luxury to not have the clerk be involved with elections. It is ours. There are some counties with only 2.5 employees in the entire clerk office, and so it's impossible to not have them working. And in my case, it wouldn't make any difference in the outcome. If I vote for me, then I would get that. Mm-hmm. You know, I would win that. So we can't. If I was running against somebody, for sure I would be nowhere near the ballots. I would not be touching them. And in fact, I've not been actually opposed ever since I was elected the first time. And of course, I wasn't here. I was working here, which has been nice for my office and that I can be there because it's all hands on deck.
Yeah. That would be kind of interesting, I guess.
It would be.
Are you prohibited by, say you are running in a contested either primary or general election, are you prohibited by law or just personal ethics from kind of participating in the vote?
So I would say in that case, it's almost a gray area because, as I said, some counties like Clark County only has 2 full-time clerks and 1 part-time, and you have to have 2 people with the ballots all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you would do in that case. In our size county, I would be nowhere near it.
Yeah. Interesting. I wonder if we should take a quick music break because the big subject is election security, which we can come back and talk about in just a moment. But I'm gonna pause our conversation right now and play a little music here. Again, we're talking to Mike Rosedale, the Bonner County Clerk. When we come back, we will be talking about election security and other things pertinent to the upcoming election. Election Day again is November the 8th. This year. Thank you. It was on this day in 2015 when Adele, so this is what, 7 years ago. Can you believe it's already been 7 years since Adele hit number one on the U.S. singles chart with Hello, the lead track from her third album entitled 25. It became the first song to sell more than 1 million digital copies in a single week and the third highest weekly sales total since Nielsen's SoundScan began tracking sales in 1991. So, hope you're not too sick of Adele. We'll be back more with Bonner County Clerk Mike Rosedale after this brief musical interlude. That's Adele, Hello off of 25, the title of her third album, I want to say, which, again, went to number one on this date in 2015, selling 1 million copies within the first week, the first single ever to do that. 1 million digital copies, I should say. And the third best-selling single since they started tracking those things in 1991. We're here. You're listening to the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Jack Peterson, in for Chris Bessler, I should credit Chris with some of the topics of conversation we've been talking about thus far today. And thank you, Chris, for passing me your notes. But we're here with Mike Rosedale, the Bonner County Clerk, talking about elections, which is right now a big part of his job. We'll talk about election security. Would you say elections, Mike, are the biggest part of your job or just at this time of year they are, and then they're not so much a part of your job? I mean, the rest of your time spent?
It's a huge part of my job right now, but I also have the county budget, which is a huge part. Everybody's interested in that with the whole levies, all that kind of stuff. All the courthouse are under me, the recording office. But this is the biggest public-facing event. The public has the biggest exposure, or the county has the biggest exposure to the public with elections. So it's a very important, and obviously everybody, it's like a sacred trust kind of a thing. If this is not solid, then they have no way of having confidence in their government at all.
Yeah. Perhaps the most important part of your job anyway.
One of them. Yep. Yeah. Well, it's very up there.
Yeah. So let's dive into, the big subject, election security. And I'm going to phrase this carefully.
Have at it.
It has been a big issue around the country, and in Bonner County last year, in 2021, I think, there were allegations about voter fraud in Idaho. Mike Lindell prompted an audit of election results in several counties. You mentioned that Bonner County was one of them, which ended up showing that here anyway, the results are accurate. Have you been hearing that people are concerned about our local election security?
Since Mike Lindell came out with that, the big lie spreadsheet, it hasn't stopped. The problem with Mike Lindell's sheet is everywhere we tested it, he was completely wrong. And I've asked these people to ask Mike Lindell why he came up with these fraudulent numbers. And I'm saying that live on the air. They were absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. There were three things wrong about it. He said that there was an 8.4% vote shift. They took 4.2% of the votes from Trump and gave them to Biden and that, you know, whatever. Yeah. It did not happen. And he said they did it via online hacking. They had advice. Seven of our counties don't even have computers. They do it with paper. So there's no possible way they could have hacked into the paper tally books. Half the counties, Mike Lindell said, were hacked 2 and 3 days after Election Day. All of our elections are uploaded election night. In our county, we're one of the latest. It's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So the horses were out of the barn by 2 or 3 days. That's impossible. The other thing is that we don't have anything that counts our ballots touching the internet. Nothing. It would be impossible. And after coming up with the 8.4%, the Secretary of State had his son look, or the Chief Deputy for the Secretary of State had his son look at different states. They came up with that exact same number for Alabama, for New York, and for Utah. So whoever threw that number out just picked a number out of the hat, applied an algorithm, and slapped it on the states. And it caused so much pain and misinformation.
Yeah. Interesting. And the concerns continue to this day?
You get
people talking to you on the street or contacting the clerk's office.
Yeah, Mike Lindell still has rallies. Everybody is waving the Lindell flag and everything. Now, to be clear, I do think there were problems in the 2020 election, big problems. But Mike Lindell is doing a massive disservice to any trying to repair any problems by saying every county in the U.S. was fraudulent.
Yeah.
That is patently incorrect.
Yeah. Is there anything, I guess we already mentioned, there is something new in place since 2020, the lottery system, the lottery audit, which has been implemented.
Right.
Anything else changed, either locally or statewide, as far as like your election security?
Well, let me back up. Somebody approached us with that Lindell sheet and it showed Bonner counties with, however many votes. I sent that to the Secretary of State. And back when we had the first COVID thing and we were doing absentee only, you remember that in May of 2020, mm-hmm. The presidential primary, everybody had to vote by absentee because of everybody's fear of COVID. They wouldn't let anybody vote in person. So it was only absentee. The legislature was then talking about we have to find a way to increase safety because they didn't like absentee voting, or at least mail-in voting, which is a very different thing. In Idaho, you have to request your ballot. Other states, they send ballots out if you're registered, period. So I talked to the Secretary of State, and I volunteered at that point to be one of their test subjects. So when the Lindell letter came out, I said, do me first, because I know we did not have any problems, and he proved that out. We were 8 votes short. They added 8 votes after they went through something like 11,000, and the reason those 8 ballots did not get counted was because, if you remember, on that election, we had these styluses where you would sign the electronic poll books with the stylus end, then you would mark your ballot with a ballpoint end. We had people trying to mark their ballot with the stylus on paper, and it wouldn't mark, and there's this faintest smudge. 8 people tried to mark their ballot with the fuzzy tip as opposed to a ballpoint pen, and those were the 8. Was it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And all 8 of them accounted for in that way.
Yeah.
Have you been involved in any other audits or recounts in your 8 years here?
I have not.
Yeah. Well, no, that's not true. Yeah. We've had some. So by we've had some where parties have asked for a recount because they were so close. Mm-hmm. Every time we've had a recount, the results have turned out, and the actual ballot recount one by one have been exactly the same as reported on election night. And the people there are there. There are observers. They're bipartisan, and every time it's been exactly the same. Our scanners and our system is very unforgiving. It is hyper precise. So that's a comfort to everybody. It's for the good, the bad, the ugly. It is what people mark.
Yeah. You already mentioned. Let's see. We have the ballots are cast at a polling place. There's two people who bring it to the county clerk's office. So there's nobody. No one person is alone with the ballots at any particular time.
Correct.
Are those boxes locked as well?
They are locked and sealed with a seal number written down on a ledger.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about, how secure these elections are or these ballots are?
Yeah. There's so much. In fact, Bonner County has one of the safest election systems in the U.S., and that's not a meritless, bold claim. We have unique ID numbers on every single one of our ballots. So those of you that saw 2,000 mules and people stuffing ballot, the drop boxes, that cannot happen in Bonner County because we issue every single ballot. Every ballot is a unique PDF with a unique barcode ID on it. And our machines know which ones are ours and they know when they come back. And so if somebody took a ballot, made 1,000 copies and marked their favorite candidate and then brought them back, only the first one counts. Then it burns that unique ID number. The other thing is, on absentees, they can't stuff it because they come in envelopes with our barcodes, with the signature verification, and we look at every single signature. If there are two ballots in an envelope, neither count. If there is a ballot without an envelope, it doesn't count. So right now we have about 60 ballots waiting to be confirmed. We've had some just right out rejected. We've had one ballot that we know was fraudulent and given over to the sheriff's office. But it's extremely tight-knit to try to get that through. So that's huge.
Yeah. Indeed. I struggled to see, where the gap would be, where somebody could get in there.
Another neat thing about this is some counties use watermark, ballot paper. Mm-hmm. That is okay if you're looking at an election after the fact. You're trying to see if fraud took place. This system keeps it from taking place on the front end, so it never even hits the reports. They never even make it past. If somebody has, if there is a duplicate ballot, our system will not let us count it. I can't override the system. It will not take that ballot.
Yeah. Is there anything, have you ever had an experience where you were kind of like, what's going on here? This looks like somebody's trying to, mess with the election results or something like that. It looks like this, somebody must have voted three times or something like that.
Nobody's ever been able to vote three times, but we've seen people put different things in the envelopes. Like I said, one absentee was returned and with a signature that didn't match, so we contacted this individual. They said they never got the ballot. So somebody took it out of their mailbox, filled it out, forged a signature that wasn't like theirs. And when he came in, he said, no, I never even got the ballot. So that one immediately we turned, obviously the barcode on that envelope is canceled. We gave all the information we had over to the sheriff. So whoever did that, if you're listening, the sheriffs have an investigator hunting you down right now.
Yeah.
And it is a felony.
Right. Voter fraud is a serious crime.
It is.
Here we are. The hour is almost up and our time is almost up with Mike Rosedale, the Bonner County Clerk. Are there any other any important things people should know as well? And maybe one more time, let's go over if a listener wants to vote in this election and they haven't done so yet, what do they do?
If you're new or if you're not quite sure of the requirements, I would strongly encourage you to come to my office right now through Friday at 5 o'clock. Because if there's any technical issues, I'm in a place to be able to deal with those, calling the Secretary of State's office if there's any confusion. On election day,
excuse me, the poll workers don't have that luxury. They are, you know, they don't have those options. Mm-hmm. So if you do it now, it counts exactly the same. It is the exact same ballot. Everybody gets the exact same ballot. So you don't, the Republicans and Democrats get the exact same ballot at your precinct. So do it now. And you can make sure that if there's a problem, it's dealt with, and you don't have to wait too long.
Yeah. I should ask, if you registered to vote once, you have to vote in every election subsequent to maintain it? No.
No, what happens is if you miss 4 years of general elections, so if you it would be like 4.5, automatically you would be rolled out.
Okay.
So if you don't vote for 4 years, there's an assumption that you moved. Mm-hmm. Or something happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good safety too.
Sure.
Most people want to vote every election at least once a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Rosedale, you've been very generous with your time this morning, and thank you very much. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. One more thing is, if anybody doesn't know who's on the ballot or what to do, it is on our website. You can look up the sample ballots. You can find where you vote. And you can find everything on that ballot. So you can come in, you know, knowing how you want to vote, but you don't have to worry about not knowing what's on the ballot because we have it right there. It's also in the paper. It'll be again in the paper this Saturday. The full ballot, everything that's on the ballot will be in the paper this Saturday, this weekend's edition in the Bonner Bee.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see everything there. But do get out and vote. Don't not vote simply because your party's not on the ballot or because your party is only your party's on the ballot. Make sure that you get out and vote.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I don't know. Lost my train of thought. That's okay. I'm not usually the Wednesday morning guy. That's what happens. But I guess I was just going to say thank you very much for coming down.
Thanks for the invite. I'm glad I could do this.
Yeah. Again, it's Michael Rosedale, the Bonner County Clerk. He is on the ballot, but running unopposed this year. And we will look for those results. Again, I will broadcast them here on KRFY until the DJ runs out of steam, probably around midnight or so. But you can find those results on the county clerk's website as they go live. So if you don't want to wait for the morning paper, you can see them. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, normally by the 11, 12 o'clock update, normally we don't have a change unless it's a really tight race. So you should get the general idea of who a winner or loser is by the midnight, roughly.
Mm-hmm. And we are almost out of time, but let me ask, the write-in candidate, who I know people are going to be watching that, well, it's probably the only local race that people are going to be watching closely. Are those results also going to be posted, or will
yes.
it just, okay.
Yeah, so write-in will be right there along. There's going to be, yes, how many he has and how many his opponent has.
Okay.
Scott Herndon, yep.
Let's call it a day then. Have a pleasant week, Mike, as you get ready for the big one.
Thank you.
The big Tuesday election day. We're going to end the program here. I'll be back with just a couple brief announcements about what's coming up this week and what's going on the radio station. Right now, it was on this date in 1978 that the Police dropped their debut album, which was not an immediate hit, but went on to sell quite a few copies based largely on the strength of this single. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY.